Psalm 103, author is David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, and who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. So when Bob asked me to get a message together, I struggled. I really did. I couldn't figure out what to pick. And it's Bob's a hard person to follow. But Psalms is not really something that's preached a whole lot about. A lot of commentaries said do not preach Psalm 103 because it's very hard. So me, being me, I said I'm going to do it. And it's actually a beautiful psalm. Once you like dig into it and really figure out what it's saying, it's really an amazing one. So have you ever wondered what God really thinks about you? That's my title for today. Our greatest barrier to knowing God better, maybe how much we know about him. We know about how much God knows about us. I'll read that again because it took me a while when I first read that. Our greatest barrier to knowing God better may be how much we know about how much God knows us. We struggle with God because we feel so bad about ourselves. And if we knew the truth about ourselves, think of how much God knows us. We can't fool him. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." I probably don't need to spend any time convincing you that you are a sinner. You probably know the truth about yourself all too well. But it's the other side that we need to talk about. We might not know God's heart very well. That's where Psalm 103 can help us. One commentary said perhaps no other chapter in the Bible so clearly reveals God's compassion for his people. If you're wondering what God thinks about you, let's take a closer look at Psalm 103 and discover seven truths about God's heart. Number one, he loves to help the needy. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Verse 6 and 7. The oppressed are those who can't help themselves. In the Old Testament, the word referred to widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor. When we are tempted to take advantage of others because we are strong and they are weak, God says, think about that first. He takes the side of the weak. God keeps his eyes on the helpless, and when others hurt them, he moves to move the balance, the scales of justice. There are days and times when this is hard to believe, but eventually God will bring everything to light, and he will judge. In that day, there will be no hiding, no excuse making, no bribes, and no way of escape. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So are you needy? The answer is yes. Whether you know it or not, you are needy, and God is on your side. That is a great place to be. Okay. Number two, he shows mercy to those who don't deserve it. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. It's verse 8. So let's look closer at this verse. There are four attributes of God in this one verse. One, the Lord is compassionate. He pardons us. Two, the Lord is gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. Three, the Lord is slow to anger. He is patient with us when we fall. And four, the Lord abounds in love. He loves us more than we can imagine. Three, He tempers His wrath. When I was researching this, I was curious to know what the word wrath was. One of the pastors that I read said, wrath is what happens when holiness meets sin. Wrath is what happens when justice meets rebellion. Wrath is what happens when righteousness meets unrighteousness. And wrath is what happens when perfect good meets pure evil. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. It's verse 9 and 10. Have you ever known anyone who loved to argue? I'm sure we all know somebody. We all know people who love to keep a quarrel going because they are so angry. God is not like that. He is willing to end the quarrel and welcome us back home. Sometimes the real problem is that we want to keep fighting Him. Romans 2:4 tells us God's kindness leads you towards your repentance. Number four, He forgives all of our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. It's verses 11 and 12. Do you guys get the concept from east to west? It never meets. So if you go east, you never come to the west. That's like a hard concept to grasp. But that's amazing that's how much somebody loves us. Because when we think of love, we think on like a human scale. You know what I mean? A lot of people love conditionally. And as long as things are going right, then you'll be loved. But when things have a problem, they turn to not love quite as much. That's not like that with God. It never ends. That's the magnitude of God's love. Here's great news for all the sinners of the world. When God forgives, He removes our sins. He lifts them up, takes them away, and puts them so far away from us that we can never find them. They are gone forever. Our sins can never come back to haunt us again. Even Satan cannot bring them back. So these verses in Psalms shows us that God has, let's look at this, in verse 8, 1, He has a long fuse, slow to anger and abounding in love. 2, He has a short memory. He does not harbor His anger forever. It's verse 9. 3, He has a thick skin. It's verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Number 4, He has a great heart. So great is His love, so far has He removed our sins. Verse 11 and 12. So it's a good thing that we have a God like that, because that's exactly the God that we need. Life's hard. Life is hard sometimes. It beats you down. And just knowing that there's someone up there that unconditionally loves you and will help you if you turn to Him is an amazing thought. Again, we think on terms of a man or woman. We have human thoughts, you know what I mean? Our thoughts are not His. We can't even understand His thoughts. And I try to put that into concept when I was doing the study as kids. I love my kids unconditionally, you know what I mean? I love my family unconditionally. I would do anything for them. But that doesn't even compare to His love for us. And it's for me, it's a hard thing to grasp. I can't even understand a love that, you know, is like that. So one day we'll be able to see it. So number 5, He understands our weakness. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. It's verse 13. Let me read the last part again. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. The Bible says we are supposed to love and fear the Lord. The Lord is our Creator. He created everything. I think as human nature, we only fear what we can see. But God, He's always there. He's around. He's always behind the scenes. And for me, that's pretty scary. To know that something's there watching me that I cannot see, watching everything that I do, everything that I say, how I treat people, that's a scary thought. Because I blow it. I blow it every day. And but it doesn't matter. He'll forgive me regardless, you know, of what I do. When an earthly father has done his job, he makes it easy for his children to believe in their heavenly father. And that's the role model we're supposed to be as parents. Our kids watch us. They watch what we do, what we say. A lot of our kids will imitate us as they grow up. They will be us. And the example I want to leave behind is just what that says. I want them to see me do a good job so that, you know, we raise them in the church. We teach about God. So my example, I guess, is what I'm getting at, is what I want to pass to them. If I don't pass anything, I want them to worship the Lord. You know what I mean? It's such an easier life, happier life. So it is with our Heavenly Father, the great physician knows our weakness, and He understands all of our fears. And when we can't go on, He carries us on His back. I was thinking of that poem. You ever heard the footsteps poem? You know, when you're weak, He carries you through the sand. And you look back and you only see one set of footprints. I'm sure we can all think of a time in life when we were beat down and we look back and we try to figure out how we got through that situation or that problem. And you can see His footprints all, you know, at least I can. I can see it all through my life where He was there when I failed. Isaiah 40:11 says that He tends to His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. Number 6, He remembers that we are dust. When I first read that one, I paused and I like thought about it. Like, we are dust. We He created us. You know what I mean? Have you ever, like, I watched my kids with Play-Doh or clay or the moon sand stuff, whatever it is. And I watched him, like, create things. You know what I mean? And that's what He did one day. He just reached in to dust, to dirt, and, like, formed us. It's unimaginable to even comprehend. But it's true. We are dust. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And his place remembers it no more. That's verse 14 through 16. Another commentary that I was reading, a pastor said that our life is like one season. One season. We're born in the spring. We're like children. And we grow up to teenagers. Young adults, that's the summer. In the fall, our hair starts going gray, we start getting older, you know what I mean? And then winter, that's it, that's the last stage. And that's scary, you know, that's a scary concept. As I look in the mirror, I'm getting more and more gray hair every week, every month. But to know that I have a place to go where somebody that will love me eternally for eternity is an amazing thought. And it kind of outweighs the whatever fear that I have. If that's all that is there, if we are here today and gone tomorrow, if that's the end of the story, then there isn't much hope. But let me share something with you. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for this year, here's something you can count on. Our hope is not in man or in anything that man can do. Because men fail. Men will always fail. It's just how we are. We're made with a sin problem. Psalm 33:20-22 says it best. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. And it's a good thing that we have someone to put our hope in, because He's the only person that is that can bring us home. You know, it's the only way. This brings me to my last point, number 7. He links us with eternity by linking us with Himself. So that means nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. This life is made for us to go through someone to get something. And that's it. A lot of people fight that thought that we have to go through somebody. You know what I mean? We are a life of do it on your own. You know, we created everything. Nothing else is out there. But that's it. That's the secret. We can only get to eternity through Him. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. That's verse 17 through 18. There is nothing we can do about our frailty. We come from the hand of the Creator, stamped fragile, handled with care. We are like the dust devils that blow across the desert. We make a big scene, and then we suddenly disappear. Try as we might, we cannot cancel our humanity. Nothing can change what we are. Vitamins and exercise and clean living may slow down the process. Positive thinking may improve our mood, but for all of us, the end is the same. Psalm 103 offers us one strong ground of comfort that lifts us up above the transitory nature of this life. It is the but of verse 17. Look at that for me. Look at verse 17. That one word, but, changes everything. That one word right there offers an eternal contrast between the fading flower and the everlasting God. So that's like the, you got some football fans. It's like when the coach gives you a play and you have to run it, but then you see something wrong, so you call the audible. That's what the butt is. The butt is the audible. That is our way right there. Our mortality and God's eternity. That one word stands as the dividing line between this life and the next. So here is our real hope of life that never ends. God's tender mercy. His mercy on us is what connects us to eternity with Him. His unfailing love and His abounding grace, all those connect us with Him. Someone once said that life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. And this endless hope is not only to us, but to our children and our children's children. What will we leave our children? A large inheritance, an estate, a huge life insurance policy. Whatever we may say about earthly possessions, they pale next to the privilege of passing down a godly heritage. And a pattern of believing that our children and grandchildren can claim as their own. In a passing world where everything fades away, we have the promise that we are linked to the future, even after we are gone, by the faithfulness of God. This, too, is the mercy of God. That is an amazing thing to pass. Can you imagine a family that serves the Lord, and then their kids serve the Lord, and then their kids serve the Lord, and just generationally it goes down and down and down. You know what I mean? So we, in a sense, we're raising a church behind us. You know what I mean? That's an amazing thing when you really grasp that. So all this, what is Psalm 103 telling us? It is telling us that we are richer than we think. We are more blessed than we know. And we have more than we realize. We sinners are rich in the mercy of God. That mercy has found us in the cross of Jesus Christ. So when I was reading commentary this week, and I read a whole lot to get this together. This took like days to prepare. I took it for granted what Bob does, but man, it is actually a lot of work. I was reading commentary this week. I came across a story that Billy Graham told during one of his sermons. And it was it was kind of neat. There was a patrolman on night duty one night in a town in northern England. As he walked the streets, he heard a quivering sob. Shining his flashlight into the darkness, he saw a little boy in the shadows sitting on a doorstep, and tears were running down his cheek. The child said, "I am lost. Please take me home." And the policeman began naming street after street, trying to help the boy remember where he lived. He named the shops and the hotels in the area, but the little boy could give him no clue. Then he remembered that at the center of the town, there was a church with a large white cross that towered above the rest of the city. The policeman pointed to the cross and said, "Do you live anywhere near that place?" The little boy's face immediately brightened up. He said, "Yes, sir. Take me to the cross and I can find my way home." All that we believe and all that we have, all that we hope for is found in the cross of Christ. Go to the cross and you will find your way home to God. So if you don't get anything out of this message, please get that. Go to the cross and you will find your way home to God. God says to us, His weak, needy, frail, dusty children, "I know you through and through, and I love you anyways. Come to me, rest in me, make me your rock. God's mercy in Christ is more than enough for us all. So nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Jesus paid His life for ours. Something He didn't do, something He didn't deserve, and He took the whole wrath of God for us. I don't know the last time somebody gave their life for you. Probably never. They probably never will. But He's our hope. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll sing "He Is My Peace." And then we will fellowship and go enjoy our New Year's Eve. So, Father, thank you for allowing me the privilege to get up in here and share a little bit about what I dug into this psalm. I pray that we can take something from this message and apply it in our lives for this new year to come. I pray that this year that our church can help people in this community, that we can reach people in this community, and that we can grow your church. Again, thank you that we live in a country where we can freely worship you, that we have the option to. Think of missionaries all around the world that struggle day to day just sharing your word. But yet we sometimes share it just so casually, like it's a story. But your word is living and it's powerful, and we should treat it as such. Again, thank you for this time. Thank you for everybody that showed up this morning. I pray that we all have a great week ahead. We love you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.